From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Ed Renser, Johnny, Union State Scheduled Company.
Oh, hi, Ed. I heard you were trying to reach me.
Yes, indeedy. Plane leaves in 2 hours.
For where?
Ensenada. It's a port on the west coast of Mexico, south...
Yeah, I know, Ed. I know. I've been there,
well,
but what do you...
Charlie Burton is down there, Johnny. You know, the big nightclub TV comic. You know, good old, lovable, boyish Charlie?
I've seen his show.
Who hasn't? Really keeps you screaming, doesn't he?
Oh, he is a killer.
Eesh.
So what do I do? Go out there and scream it up for him?
You go out there and keep him alive. Someone's threatened to murder him.
One of his audience, maybe?
No, wait, Johnny. This is no laughing matter. Anything happens to Charlie Burton, I cut my throat.
Hey, you really do like his show.
We're carrying $500,000 worth of insurance on that boy.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Union States Casualty Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Laughing Matter. Item 1, $221.50. Transportation by scheduled airline to San Diego, incidentals there, and charter plane for a flight 80 miles south into Mexico. To Ensenada. Item 2, $1.90. Taxi from the plowed ground airstrip to the Carrara marble foyer of the Plush Balboa Beach Hotel. The contrast was typical. Ensenada is two towns, really. The tourist town is a glittering belt of pseudo-swank resorts around the south end of the bay. Bald-headed men in flowery sports shirts and fat women in shorts, loaded down with cameras, souvenirs, and U.S. dollars. The loafing town. And next to it, the rows of warehouses and docks, the fishing fleets and freezer plants, narrow dirt streets and slums. Soft-eyed Mexicans and the gentle liquid sound of Spanish. Native town, the working town. Two different ways of life, and no bridge of understanding between. The executive producer of the Charlie Burton Show, a man named Frank Maltz, was in my room 5 minutes after I checked in.
Glad to know you, Mr. Dollar.
He was probably in his middle 40s, but looked older, haggard, pressured. A little battered around the edges. He might not have his ulcer yet, but he was sure working on one.
Didn't waste much time getting here.
Well, that phone call of yours got them pretty upset back there in Hartford.
I meant for it,
so
too.
I get it. Have you called in the local authorities, Mr. Maltz?
No.
Why not?
No, it wouldn't have done any good. Charlie would have blown his top and had him thrown out.
Good old lovable Charlie?
Yes.
He doesn't know you phoned Hartford.
No, he'd have stopped me if he'd known.
Why? Does he want to die?
Oh, he says he's had murder threats before, crank letters. He wouldn't take it serious.
But you do, is that it?
I didn't figure. It was up to me to decide.
As I understand it, Mr. Maltz, there was a note of some kind slipped under Burton's door.
That's right.
Well, tell me about it, will you?
All right, yesterday evening after we came back from shooting some scenes around the bay, we went to our room, shower, clean up for dinner.
Uh-huh.
When Charlie started to leave his room, he saw the note.
Where is his room?
Fourth one down on the terrace to the left. All our rooms open onto this same terrace.
Do you still have that note?
No, no. Charlie tore it up after he read it.
Did he show it to anybody?
Yes, to me. It was on stationery from the hotel here. It was in pencil and crudely printed.
Remember the wording?
Oh, yes. It said, "Only the gods are immortal, Burton. As you'll soon find out, you'll never leave Ensenada alive."
Kind of an odd way of putting it.
I thought so myself.
Know anyone who might use that style of phrasing?
No, I'm afraid not.
All right. What else, Mr. Maltz?
Nothing else. Those are the facts.
Anything happened since the note?
Not as far as I know.
Burton could be right, of course. The whole thing may be a hoax.
Yeah, maybe. But that's for you to decide, not me.
Who do you know who might think they had a reason to kill him?
I think I'll let you form your own conclusions on that.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Maltz. That's very thoughtful of you.
All right, I'm sorry. I realize I haven't given you much to go on.
Practically nothing.
I can't help it, Dollar. That's all I know about it.
I see.
Well, talk to the others. See what they know about it.
What others?
Well, I was thinking mainly of Gloria Dale and Al Schreiber. And there's Charlie himself, of course.
Suppose you brief me on those other two.
All right. Gloria Dale's the feminine lead.
Oh, yeah, I've seen her on TV.
Yeah, probably. She's been with the show for 3 years. She's in her late 20s. She's single. She's gorgeous. She has a terrific sense of comedy.
Now, how does she get along with old, lovable Charlie?
Good question. Maybe she can give you an answer to it.
Well, I don't ask her. And who was that other one you mentioned?
Al Schreiber? Yeah, he's a young newcomer. He's been with the show 6 months now. A real talent, if he were ever given a chance to show it.
Why isn't he given a chance?
Because on the Charlie Burton show, my friend, there is one and only one star, namely...
Good old, lovable, boyish Charlie Burton.
Oh, you've been reading the press release.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. All right, who else?
No, that's all. At least all that matter. The camera crew, the technicians who were sent up from Churubusco in Mexico City, they never heard of Charlie Burton before. And we haven't had much of any contact with anyone here in town. Now, I think that note was written by somebody right here in the family. That's another reason I sent for you instead of the local police.
Just why did you send for me, Mr. Maltz?
What do you mean?
How do you feel about Charlie Burton?
Haven't you guessed?
More or less, I think.
Well, I'll spell it right out for you, Mr. Dollar. I hate his guts.
And what do you care whether he's murdered or not?
Care, I'd get roaring drunk to celebrate it.
And yet you're the one who phoned an SOS to Hartford.
Well, sure. If Burton does get it, I want an expert around. Somebody will tag the right party for the crime.
A matter of justice, is that it?
Why not?
Oh, because it's usually just a word people talk about. What they really want is to win. Is that what you want, Mr. Maltz?
Very funny. You ought to go on television.
No, I'm waiting till they perfect it.
I feel the same way about murder.
So the legend of lovable Charlie was starting to crack. One person at least didn't love him, Frank Maltz, his executive producer. And there was something else besides hate in Frank Maltz's eyes, a weariness or bitterness, something I couldn't quite place. I filed the thought for the moment, took time to shower and change, and went looking for another pair of eyes, a prettier pair. And I found them, alone on the terrace with their owner. They were turned toward the west, toward the last golden edge of the sun as it sank into the Pacific. They were big and blue, very lovely.
Hello there.
How are you, Miss Dale?
Miss...
I'm Johnny Dollar. I just got in from Hartford, and I've been talking with Frank Maltz.
Oh, you must be with the advertising sponsor.
No, I'm an insurance investigator.
Huh?
Yes, I'm here in regard to that threatening note that Mr. Burton received.
Oh, that.
You've heard about it, then?
Oh, we all heard about it. Interminably.
From Burton, you mean?
Who else? Oh, he paced and posed and beat his breast. He wept and stormed and shouted at us. Harangued, accused, and monologued us. Our base ingratitude after all he'd done for us. Done to us, he should have said. That one of us, a viper in his bosom, should stoop to such a practical joke on good old luck. If it was a practical joke, what are you doing down here?
You think it was a joke, Miss Dale?
I don't, but Charlie himself said... Do you mean somebody really meant that threat?
Maybe.
Well, what do you know?
Any ideas to who might have written it?
Sure. Anybody who knows him.
Is he that bad, actually?
Mr. Dollar, you've heard the expression, horrid old man.
Yeah.
Well, if Charlie Burton worked for years to improve himself, I mean really tried, eventually he might lift himself up high enough to be a horrid old man.
Well, if it's like that, why do you stick around?
Why do I? Because I signed a contract last year during an emotional crisis. And it's got 2 more years to run.
Break it. Breathe a little clean air for a change.
I'd be dead professionally, and that's about all I've got in life now. Professional career, such as it is.
Same thing apply to Frank Maltz?
Yep, contract. Executive producer is just a title. The Charlie Burton Show is owned by Charlie Burton, lock, stock, barrel, and the souls of the employees.
Something of a dictator, huh?
Egomaniac. He's a pre-adolescent paranoid with the ethics of a rattlesnake and the jealous instincts of a Turkish harem master.
Uh-huh.
Oh, forgive me, Mr. Dollar. I had that line in a play once, but it still fits him.
Tell me the truth, Miss Dale. Did you write that note?
I'm a female comic, Mr. Dollar.
So?
So who can write?
Gloria.
Out here, Al, on the terrace. Al Schreiber, have you met him yet?
No, but I've got him on the list.
That may turn out to be quite a list before you're through.
Downstairs bar at 7, honey. That's what you said. Downstairs bar at 7.
Yeah, I know. I'm going in and change right now. Al, this is Johnny Dollar, Al Schreiber.
Oh,
how are you? Glad to see you.
Mr. Dollar's an insurance investigator. He's here about that murder threat Charlie got.
You mean that note was for real?
Could be.
Well, happy days. Maybe there's hope for us yet.
Careful, Al. Mr. Dollar's making a list.
Sweetie, I'd be proud to confess. Only I didn't think of the idea, and besides, I'm a coward.
Did either of you actually see that note?
No, but we heard about it.
So I understand.
How does insurance figure in this? You mean some company actually wrote a policy on that earthworm?
To the tune of $500,000.
Holy Hannah, who's he worth that much to?
His sponsor, the advertising client. I doubt if it's personal, really. They're just protecting their investment in the show.
$500,000 fish. For a phony old fake who weighs in at a fast 30 cents. Say, maybe they're out to kill him and make a profit for themselves.
Yeah, I'll put them on the list. And I take it you're in the club, too, Al.
The club?
At least you're not wearing a Love Charlie Burton button.
Oh, sir. All I am, ever was, or hope to be in any future life. All I have, ever had, or expect to have at any time, notwithstanding. The foregoing to supersede any previous statement, and irregardless of any utterance made hereafter, I owe in its entirety and without any reservation whatsoever to my one and only benefactor, that sterling, magnanimous, warm-hearted, genial... I'll bet you think I'm only saying that because it's in my contract.
Did you write the note, Al?
I don't know what to say until I check with my writers.
Yeah, I have the same problem with my underwriters.
Say, that's not bad, Mr. Dollar. You know, you ought to
try television. Sorry, I'm waiting till they perfect it. Item 3, 80 cents, one drink. I had it sent from the bar and sat on the terrace alone and drank it. I watched the sun die in the west and let the soft night creep out of the hills of Mexico and sink down over me in gentle folds. Then I saw a man slip from the shadowed shrubbery and move cautiously up the terrace, a pale ghost dressed in the white cotton of a peon worker. As I came quietly to my feet, a girl ran from inside somewhere, clung to him and stopped him. They argued fiercely for a moment in guarded Spanish. Then the man turned and saw me and vanished into the darkness of the hotel gardens. The girl faced me for an instant, with eyes like frightened doves. Then she too turned and fled. But I'd recognize her. She was the hotel maid who'd brought ice to my room when I first arrived. So it was a lover's meeting, most likely. And yet, the man, before she stopped him, had been heading across the terrace toward Charlie Burton's room.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow... the great man condescends and shivers a little, too. And a girl's hidden hate is blacker than the sea-wet rock she vents it on. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Charlie Burton, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yes. Was hoping you'd come out of seclusion.
Seclusion?
I arrived in Ensenada at 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's now 10 p.m., and I still haven't been able to see the man I'm supposed to protect.
I did not invite you here, Mr. Dollar. I do not need any protection.
Well, my insurance company doesn't agree with you, and they've got $500,000 riding on your life.
Look, my life has not been threatened. That note was a mere bit of buffoonery perpetrated by one of those nearest and dearest to me. One of those to whom I have unstintingly devoted my
entire... Oh, knock it off, Burton. I know the good old lovable Charlie legend, and I've seen your TV show.
Well, naturally.
Look, are you going to talk to me, or do I wire my company to cancel your policy and notify your sponsor that you've refused to cooperate with us?
Mr. Dollar, you may come down to my room in 10 minutes.
I'll be there in an hour, Burton. You wait on me for a change.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Ensenada, Mexico. To the Home Office, Union States Casualty Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Laughing Matter. Expense account continued. Item 5, $1.40. Taxi from the hotel in the village to the Comandancia Police on Frente Avenue. I wanted a rundown of one of the maids at the hotel, a girl named Valena Morales. I'd seen her on the hotel terrace shortly after dark near Charlie Burton's room. Seen her arguing with some man who'd managed to slip away from me in the darkness. Captain Peral said he'd check with me later and politely avoided asking what it was all about. If he had, I couldn't have told him. The Charlie Burton comedy show was on location at Ensenada, Mexico, and Frank Maltz, the producer, had frantically phoned Hartford and claimed Burton's life had been threatened. Burton thought it was a practical joke. Maltz didn't know. Neither did I. But I was there to find out. Hiya.
You are Mr. John Dollar, I assume.
You couldn't assume any corrector. Mind if I come in?
By all means, do.
Thanks.
I am Charles Burton, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I know. I've seen your face in a number of saloons.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, on their television sets.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, sit down, Mr. Dollar.
I just did.
Yes, so I noticed. Well, I don't imagine you'll be here long enough for me to have something sent up from there.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I'll have scotch on the rocks. Double.
I see. Room service, please. This is Mr. Burton in Suite D. Please send up one scotch on the rocks.
Double.
Make it double. Just a moment, please. By the way, Mr. Dollar, what is your room number?
I can't seem to remember it at the moment. Why don't you just charge it to yours and then bill me for it later?
If you think your room service, cancel that order. Yes, I said cancel it. I will not tolerate this high-handed attitude from a hireling, sir.
But not your hireling, Burton. Now, let's get a few things straight right now. From what I've heard about you up to now, I don't like you. And when I get to know you better, you like it or not.
And I certainly do not.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh.
Try throwing your weight around with the insurance company and they'll cancel your policy. And if that happens, you'll have sponsor trouble right up to your neck.
If you think you...
I think you're not going to let it happen, Burton. You can't afford to. So cut out the kidding and let's get on with it.
You know, I like you, Dollar. You're so uninhibited. I'm going to buy you that...
Nope. Sorry.
Why not?
I didn't want it in the first place. It was only a way to get your goat break down that phony guard. But have one yourself, though.
Now, drinking is not one of my vices.
Oh, so that explains it.
Explains what?
It wasn't one of Hitler's vices, either.
You're so delightfully insulting, you know. One can hardly take offense.
Too bad. I'd hope for better results.
Would you mind telling me just who exactly is responsible for this prejudiced opinion you have of me?
Well, as I remember, it was fairly unanimous.
As I know, you talked to Frank Maltz. Maltz, of course, is bitter because he hasn't been given complete control of my show.
Or any control, the way I hear it.
As long as it's the Charlie Burton show, Mr. Dollar, Charlie Burton intends to run it.
Only the gods are immortal. Isn't that what the murder threat said?
I'll get to that. Then there's Gloria Dale, my leading lady. Dear Gloria. I suppose she told you I've treated her very badly. Practically forced her to sign a contract that pays her several thousand dollars a week. A hideous fate, actually.
It could be.
And Al Schreiber? Did he mention the fact that I took him out of a 40-a-week burlesque house and taught him the subtleties of high-class, big-time comedy? Things that I I had spent a lifetime perfecting.
Look, Burton, if you're trying to convince me of your fine, sterling character, forget it. It's irrelevant. I'm here because...
You're here because of that note, and that's exactly what I'm getting at. You think it was written by one of those three people, don't you?
Right.
Well, I agree with you. But you also take the threat seriously. I don't.
Why not?
Because not one of them has any reason to kill me. Yes, I know how they talk. They're underpaid, overworked. The boss is a tyrant. They hate him, the same old patter. And that kind of talk never leads to murder, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, you've got a point there, I guess.
That note was pushed under my door yesterday as a crude attempt at a joke. Nothing else. Then Maltz lost his head and had you sent down here from Hartford. And the whole thing has become ridiculous.
You may be right.
Well, you sure you won't have that drink?
No, no, thanks. Oh, by the way, there's a maid at the hotel here. I believe she works all the rooms along the terrace here. A small girl, very pretty, with her short curly hair.
Yes, Valina.
Well, you've noticed her, then?
Oh, quite. I find her utterly charming.
Would you happen to know whether she's married?
I really didn't bother to ask. Does it matter?
Not to me, but it might to her husband.
You are determined, aren't you?
There must be some reason why you're so scared.
Scared? You do have a preposterous imagination. Good night, Mr. Dollar.
It wasn't my imagination. Burton was scared, or worried, or upset. At any rate, something was bothering him. But at the moment, he was covering up for some reason, and there was nothing more I could do to push him. So I gave up for the time being and went back to my room. But I wasn't ready for sleep, and the terrace outside my windows lying empty in the moonlight seemed inviting. And even more so, the sound of breakers 100 yards beyond. I followed a winding path through the hotel gardens and came out of the sandy cove. And there I found her. Gloria Dale, sitting on the sea-worn rocks by the water's edge, with a bottle beside her, getting quietly drunk.
You've discovered my guilty secret, Mr. Dollar, and I've only got one glass. It's that or the bottle.
I'll share the glass with you, if it's all right.
Sure. There you are.
Thanks. Here's to the moon, people.
They seem real close tonight, don't they?
Yeah, they'll be dancing out there on the water by midnight.
I think you're as crazy as I am.
Crazier. You're not even in the same league.
I'm glad you came. I go sort of nuts on moonlit nights by myself.
Hey, what happened to Al? Weren't you two together?
I sent him off to bed. He gets a little wearing sometimes.
He's real gone on you, isn't he?
I guess so.
And you?
He's a good guy. I like him a lot. He's fine, but...
But no click, huh?
No click. Just a better click.
Hey, easy, kid. You're drinking it straight, you know.
Help yourself.
What are you trying to do to yourself, Gloria?
Learn to forget. Forget the emptiness, the hollowness. There's nothing in me anymore. Except the hate, of course. There's plenty of hate.
For Charlie Burton?
For Charlie Burton.
Do you hate him enough to kill him?
You've always got your eye on the ball, haven't you, Mr. Dollar?
More or less. Would you like to tell me about this emptiness?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Why not, though? It's the edge of the land and the edge of the sea. And you're from the moon and you'll go back there at dawn. So why not? Here's to the moon. It makes people crazy.
Hey, save half of that one for me.
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Yeah, just leave it there. So?
Well, a year ago, my contract was up. And I was leaving the show. And I was about to be married. Jerry, his name was. And he's the only man I ever really loved.
Uh-huh.
Burton was furious. Said I was letting him down. I was ungrateful. But he couldn't stop me because my contract was up. And one morning, I got a note from Jerry. Special delivery. We were through, it said.
Why?
No explanation. Just a cold, vicious note. That same morning, Jerry left town with a friend, chartered a plane, and went to Canada on a hunting trip.
And you didn't find out the reason for it?
Later, yes. At the time, I was hurt. I was terribly hurt. I signed a new contract and went on working. Months later, I got the story around about.
What was it?
A private detective, one of the crooked ones. had gone to Jerry with a complete report about me, supposedly. My private life, field reports, affidavits, statements. Even photographs. A fake. The whole thing. But it convinced Jerry. You know who was behind it?
I can guess.
Sure. Good old, lovable Charlie Burton. He wanted to make sure I'd sign that contract.
But when you did find out, why didn't you go to Jerry?
I wish I could have. Van Huntington trip. The plane, it crashed. Jerry never came back. He was killed. Crazy, huh?
Oh, no, easy, sweet.
Do I hate Charlie Burton enough to kill him? That's what you asked me, wasn't it? Sure, I hate him enough. 1,000 times enough. Only I haven't got the nerve. So what do? I drink.
Gloria.
The hotel. Help me get back there. Please, Jenny. Will you take me home?
Love and hate. And the black sea rocks. And a lunatic's moon at midnight. And no help on this earth for a wounded heart but time itself. A tide was rising now and rising fast. And hidden by the darkness, a wave curled and broke. And time ran out. I lunged out of bed and fumbled in the blackness for my robe and slippers and gun.
Yeah, who is it?
Charlie Burton. Open up, hurry.
Dollar, you've got to protect me. Somebody took a shot at me through my window from the terrace.
Oh, it was probably just a crude, practical joke.
Joke? Joke? This is no laughing matter. Don't you understand, Dollar? Somebody's out to kill me.
Now here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a thickening web, clinging and sticky. But one of the flies pulls free by using a gun. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by Les Crutchfield, and is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Capitan Davidro Parral, senor, of the Ensenada Police.
Oh, hi, Parral. I tried to call you a few minutes ago. We've had a shooting out here at the hotel.
And somebody, she's dead?
No, nobody's dead. The bullet missed. Somebody fired a shot from the terrace into one of the rooms.
I am flush with the red light, senor. I make the siren. I'm gone like the wind.
Good. But will you do me one thing before you blow up a storm?
Mother say?
There's a man missing from his room here, a friend of the man who was shot at. He must be around town somewhere.
Where is he?
He's an Americano, about 45, name's Frank Maltz.
Frank Maltz. Bueno, we'll find him. I'm going to make one APCD.
B, you mean, APB.
C, APB, like on radio in Los Estados.
All right, hop to it, Peral.
Si, senor. Senor, what it is, this APB?
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Ensenada, Mexico, to the Home Office, Union States Casualty Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Laughing Matter. Expense account continued. Item 6, $1, a pot of coffee from the hotel kitchen, special. It was 1 a.m. I'd been half asleep when the shot was fired, and I hoped the coffee would help get me at least half awake. I hadn't expected it to happen that way, and neither had good old lovable Charlie Burton, America's favorite TV comic, according to his press agents. Charlie had called it a joke, but he wasn't laughing now, and neither was I. Charlie's life was insured for $500,000, payable to his sponsor.
Where he is, senor, this man who was get shot?
He didn't get shot, Peral. He got shot at.
Pues sí, es what I wish to say, but the tongue is no make English too good.
Well, you're doing fine. The manager gave Bert another room, inside, away from the terrace here. He's probably got the door locked and the furniture piled in front of it.
Mande?
I mean, he's scared, very scared. Comprende?
Oh, sí, sí. Él tiene mucho miedo.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, according to his story, he was asleep here on this side of the bed. Someone fired the shot from outside on the terrace. It broke the window there. And the bullet lodged here in the bed, about 6 inches above Burton's head where he was lying on the pillow.
Sí, yo puedo verlo. And then he is wake up quick. He is... Is no see nobody, senor? Is no hear nobody?
No, he was too scared to know. He jumped out of bed, ran down the inside corridor, and banged on my door. I searched the terrace right away and didn't find a thing.
And these other people, which are work for him to make the television, they are also having room which are close to this?
Peral, your tongue may not make the English too good, but there's nothing wrong with your head.
Mandas that?
I mean, you're okay, amigo. You're a good cop.
Gracias, senor.
Yes. Yes, any one of them could have fired that shot.
And they're big which ones, these people?
Well, there's Frank Maltz. He's the producer of the Charlie Burton show. He's the one who was missing from his room, the one I asked you to locate.
See, I see.
Then there's Gloria Dale. She's the feminine star of the show. She's in the third room down.
She is in the room of her when the shoot was fired?
Yeah, she'd gone to bed. I had to beat on the door to wake her. She hadn't even heard the shot. She'd been pretty upset. She'd been drinking earlier.
See, it's always the same. These Americanas ladies, which have come to Ensenada, always they are drink too much.
Yeah, you may be right. Anyway, the third member of the group is Al Schreiber, second room down. He's an actor, too.
And where he is when these things happen?
In bed, so he says. The shot woke him up, and he came out into the corridor while Burton was banging on my door.
And these are all, senor?
Yep, that's the bunch.
Which one you think is not like this, Charlie?
Every single one of them hates him.
Hmm.
Then there's another possibility, too. That girl I asked you to check on earlier, the maid who works here at the hotel.
You see, la señora Evelina Morales. Pues, we are looking, but we are not find her yet.
Oh?
Ella no está en casa. She are no at her house, señor.
Oh, I see.
Ni el marido tampoco es. Also, the, how you say, her husband is gone.
Oh, then she is married.
Pues, sí, señor.
You're still looking for her, aren't you?
Pues sí, señor. No tenga cuidado. It's no big town, Ensenada. We are find her too soon now. I think es por mí, yo creo. I am tell the manager I was here. La policía acá. Sí, Capitán de Vidro Peral. ¿Dónde? Bien, sí. Muy bien. Bien, adiós. This man you are say have disappeared, señor.
Frank Maltz?
He was now be found.
Where is he?
Es un cantina, a nightclub. It's called the 21.
21. Where is it? In town somewhere?
You see, it is the, how you say, senora? It's one big hot spot.
Item 7, $1, taxi into town. Peral stayed at the hotel to talk to Charlie Burton and the others. I thought it might do some good, at least by keeping them off balance. Regardless of his knowledge of English, Peral was a smart lad, and his eyes never missed a thing. The Ventayuna may have been a hot spot earlier, but at this time of night it was almost deserted. There were a few weary B-girls drowsing at the bar, a scant handful of last-ditch patrons, and Frank Maltz, alone at a table, glowing with mellow geniality and bottled health.
Well, now, another night out with insomnia that tastes for dives. Pull up a chair, Johnny.
Thanks. Been here long?
Forever.
Oh?
At least for years and years. I am part of the place, my boy. These worm-eaten rafters, the crumbling walls, this musty aroma of ancient tequila that was spilt on these tiles long before you were even born.
I see.
You see, the place was built by the conquistadores, and I dropped in the very next day. I've been here ever since.
Maltz, look, John.
Now speak softly, softly, friend. This is hallowed ground. This is the meeting place. This is the crossroads, you see, for two separate worlds. The tourists come traipsing down from Beach Boulevard up there. They call it slumming. And the townsfolk come up from Gastelum and Balboa, and they all meet here. And they drink tequila, and then they dance the fandango. Hey, amigo, how about playing a fandango? Hmm? No, he can't hear, you know, because he is dead. We are all dead here, Johnny.
You know something, Maltz?
Hmm?
You're not nearly as plastered as you're pretending to be.
I know that, Johnny.
Have you been here all evening? Here in the Ventayuna?
How do you like that name, Ventayuna? It means a 21, you know.
Yeah, I know. Have you been here in the 21 all evening?
Oh, no. I've been in all of them. I just ended up here. Ever see a better place to end up, Johnny?
Where were you around 12:40 tonight?
What? What are you driving at?
Somebody took a shot at Charlie Burton tonight.
Woo! I got my fingers crossed, did they?
No, they didn't hit him.
Well, maybe they'll have another chance.
Not if I can prevent it.
Now, that's why you were checking times on me, huh? You think I maybe made a clay pigeon out of that rat.
Did you?
Johnny, I left the hotel at 10 o'clock. I've been a lot of places since, but not back there. I don't know where I was at 12:40. Maybe some bartender around town will know. I have seen them all tonight, one time or another.
This lush stuff seems to be a habit with all of you, including Gloria.
Well, stick around Burton a month. You'll know why.
So, why do you stick around him?
Me, personally, there's a couple of reasons, I guess. I'm trying to help somebody else, for one thing. Well, myself at the same time, of course.
Meaning?
Al Schreiber. The kid is great, Johnny. He really is. And it'll be his show next year. If we can hang on. And for the same sponsor.
With you, producer?
Oh, that's right. They're fed up with Charlie Burton, and they've got reason to be. He's a phony name, Johnny, nothing else. It's a fake. It's a build-up. They've got to spend more on press relations now than it costs to produce the show.
Then with Charlie out of it, you and Al would be in. Is that the way it stacks up?
That's right.
You said you had a couple of reasons for staying on.
Now, forget it. The second one is not important. It's a sob story.
Well, it won't be the first one I've heard tonight.
I'm married, you see, Johnny. 23 years now. And for the last 8, my wife has been completely paralyzed. Utterly helpless. She's in a sanitarium upstate. She has to have special care. Special treatments. And it costs $350 a week, 52 weeks a year. So I stay on with Burton and I go on hating him. And whenever the hate gets too bad, I go up and see her. Well, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know anyone. She just lies there and breathes. But I look at her. And I remember how she was. And how I loved her. I still love her, Johnny. So that's the way it is.
I left him there in the cantina with his love and his hate and walked out into the street, empty and silent under the wheeling stars in the soft dark night. A lone dog sidled past, gray and gaunt, intent on some mission of his own, and faded into the shadows. And the town slept, its own loves and hates put aside until morning. Quiet town. Then the emptiness was filled with sound, and a flashing red light slashed the darkness. Morales of the Ensenada police. He said the maid from the hotel, Valena Morales, had come home. One of his sergeants was waiting there with her.
Buenas noches, senora.
Buenas noches.
The tiny room was lit by a flickering oil lamp, and a candle burned beneath a crucifix on the wall above the bed. Cement floor and adobe walls, bare and clean, like the cell of a nun in a convent.
¿Y su hombre? ¿En dónde está él?
En la cel.
She was young, pretty, and at the moment, very frightened.
¿Dónde estás tú más temprano?
En la casa de una amiga. ¿Por qué me preguntas?
Espérate, señora. Hace poco me trato a matar a un señor. Allá en el Hotel Balboa.
¿Qué dices? ¿Cuál señor?
Un americano. El señor Carlos Burton.
Oh, de mí. ¿Qué tengo yo que hacer?
She talked,
ya no hay
half
remedio.
Crying, and Peral translated. Charlie Burton,
no
old, lovable Charlie, had been bothering her, annoying her at the hotel. She tried to avoid him, but had made the mistake of telling her husband. He'd been furious and had come to the hotel earlier in the evening. That's when I'd see the two of them arguing on the terrace. She hadn't seen him since.
So, Senor Dollar, what is it you think?
I think you'd better find her husband, and find him quick.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, death tries once more, and this time doesn't miss. But death, you know, is blind. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.